in the series called In the Beginning. We began last week with this series where we're talking about, we're going to take some time over the next few weeks and dig into the Genesis story and look back at Genesis chapter 1. And what we're going to find over the next few weeks is some of the things that God built as he created the universe. When God created the universe, what we're discovering is that not only did God create the universe by the word of his power, but when he created, he was also establishing principles that exist in the earth today. Amen? And if we can discover those principles or see what kind of things we need to have in our life, what we'll end up finding is God's creative power, God's life being created in our lives the way he's called it to. Amen? Amen, somebody? That should be the heart and the goal of me as a child of God, as a believer, should be to discover everything that God has created me for, functioning, flowing, being an active part of my life. Amen, somebody? And so we can do that by looking back at the creation and seeing how God, when he first began to create. And we looked last week at this first very simple truth, is this, that everything begins with God. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, everything begins with God. Everything starts with God. The first several words of the Bible say, in the beginning, God. There is no beginning that does not start with God. Amen? Everything in my life should start with God. I did not create myself. I started with God. Therefore, everything in my life, every new beginning, everything that's created in my life should have its origin in God. Amen? And we looked last week at how in the beginning was God. Everything begins with God, and God began everything with the Word. Today, we're going to look at the whole account of creation in Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to discover some of the structure that God placed in creation, which produces life. Amen? And we're going to see how that structure applies to us today. Let's dig in, and let's just start here. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and then I'm going to skip down and read Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. You can follow along in the YouVersion Bible app. Scriptures will be here on the screen. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's go. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. It says, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then skip down to verse 26. It says, then God said, let us make human beings, or man, in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. The earth was formless and void, and then God said, let us create human beings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your presence here. Thank you. Thank you for interrupting our regularly scheduled time of worship today, God, just to move in a supernatural way. Lord, we thank you for the word that's been shared, Father, already, and just the sense of your presence speaking and moving, and I pray that you continue that as we look at your word today, Father, together in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen and amen. Now, here's the thing. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 says, the earth was formless and void and empty, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep. Now, let me just take a little insert here, a little fun science trip for you, okay? Because here's the thing about creation. None of us were there. Should have been, everybody should have amen there unless you think that you were there, okay? Let me try this again. None of us were there. Okay, nobody was there, so nobody knows for sure how God created the earth and how God, we just know the Bible says God did it, okay, and God used his word to do it. But what happened when God spoke, that leaves a whole lot of room for interpretation, amen? Some people that have dated the Bible to be a book that's about 10,000 years old, this is where the Bible and science seemingly have issues, and where you might talk to someone who's a scholar in science or really puts a lot of faith in science, let's say, well, the earth is billions of years old, millions of years old, billions of years old, and they cite the star records and the speed of light and how far we can measure light, knowing that if light is that far away and it's ever expanding from one singular point in the universe, by the way, that one singular point in the universe was God when God spoke light into existence, okay? Have I lost you so far? Okay. Just understand the universe that you live in right now is ever expanding. Science tells us that from what they call the Big Bang, we said God spoke, and from that exact moment, the universe has been expanding right now to the point that we live in today, and we are still in an ever-expanding universe. Does that make sense? So they can measure the distance and know that if we can measure stars that are light years away, hundreds, thousands, millions of light years away, that gives us an idea that the universe is that old. Does that make sense? If light has been expanding from a singular point, okay? Well, now we have a problem because the Bible is only 10,000 years old And yet we have some scientific records, and there's other data you can look at, fossil records, geological, the layers of geological earth give us date, age, theory, all these things that we use to date the earth. Okay, and now we look at and we say, well, the Bible and the science doesn't mix, okay? Now, as a good Bible-believing Christian, we are always going to trust the Word of God over science, amen? So then we find ourselves in an argument with someone when we're trying to prove that the universe can only been 10,000 years old because the Bible only gives us 10,000 years of history. Here's what you got to understand. Number one, the Bible's not a science book, amen? It's a book about God and His love for you and me, and how He redeemed us through Jesus Christ. That is what the book of the Bible is about. There is some history. There is some science in there. But God's intention in giving you and I the Bible was not to write a science book. Amen. Okay? So, to try to make the Bible a science book is a mistake. Okay? Now, this I said all that to say this, because you might, in fact, and listen, this is, I'll just tell you this, and I'm not against anybody, but if you go to the Creation Museum, right, and it's a great place to go. I've never been personally, but I heard it's awesome. Not because I had this, I just haven't gone. But that, the group that does that, they will probably give you, and you'll find a lot of information that's trying to prove that the earth is 10,000 years old. They hold to that theory, okay? Here's what you understand. Listen, I hate to do this to you. It's only a theory. We don't know. Because there's another theory here, and if you're a person that study science and nature, and it's like, well, why doesn't this add up? I don't want to, because here's one bad thing we can do. I should never make this book say something it doesn't say. Amen? Are you following me? Okay. So to try to force the book to say anything it doesn't say is a mistake. Here's the deal. Science, let me tell you this morning. Science and the Bible do not have to be at odds. Listen, Genesis 1:1, what we read last week, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Does it say that? Okay, verse 2 says, now the earth was formless and void. Did God ever create anything that was formless and void and empty? So how come in Genesis 1:1 he creates the heavens and the earth, and then in Genesis 1:2 the earth is formless and void and empty if God doesn't do that? Okay, I can hear wheels turning here. Okay, let me help you. There's this little theory, and again, this is all theory. I just want to help you, because you might find yourself in an argument. Somebody says, well, if you're a Christian and believe the Bible's 10,000 years old, earth is 10,000 years old, that's just stupid and silly. You can say, you know what, actually, the Bible doesn't necessarily say that. The Bible doesn't have to say that. There is a thing called gap theory. Everybody say gap theory. I'll take you guys real deep before I get you guys back on track here, okay? Gap theory states that there is another possible explanation for why the science and the study of the stars and the universe tells us that the earth could be millions of years old, and it could be this. The fact, this is just one of the simple ways to explain this and make and allow the Bible and God's creation to actually line up and say the same thing, is this. There could have been a giant gap that we don't know about between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. There could have been a giant gap where when God created the heavens and the earth, that was not the heavens and the earth that we know today, that we are measuring and studying today. That could have been the heavens and the earth where the dinosaurs roamed, where all these prehistoric things happened. And that earth and that present, that form of creation could have existed for untold eons before. Now, let me see. What there is a situation, don't you remember in the Bible, in the Old Testament? In fact, Jesus told the disciples, he said, I saw Satan get cast out of heaven. I saw him fall like lightning to the earth. Follow me so far? Could it be that in between Genesis 1:1, Genesis 1:2, Genesis 1, God creates some form of the earth and the heavens that we don't have any real understanding of at this point? Dinosaurs lived there. There was some sort of life. Possibly prehistoric man, if there was some sort of, not man like we are, but some other lower life form. Could have been. I'm just saying, could have been. We weren't there. We don't know. And the Bible doesn't give us all the answers to it. Amen, somebody? Okay? Just an idea. Just bear with me. But couldn't have been that the reason that the earth that we see in Genesis 1-2 was dark and formless and void is because in between Genesis 1-1 and Genesis 1-2, Satan and Lucifer and a third of the angels who now become demonic spirits were kicked out of heaven. And the Bible says they were kicked out of heaven. And elsewhere in Scripture, he calls Lucifer the prince of the power of the air, meaning that he is not in heaven anymore. He's not on earth. He's in between heaven and earth in an invisible realm that we don't know. But couldn't the presence of Satan hovering over the earth, couldn't that be what makes the earth that God created in Genesis 1-1? Formless and void and empty. And there are some scholars and some scientists that believe that possibly Genesis 1:3, when God said light be, is not as much the first creation as it is a recreation of the earth that we now exist and occupy and live in today. Just one example, one story, one theory. I don't know. We weren't there. Just giving you an idea. Amen, somebody? All I'm saying is that could have existed, that could have happened, but that's not really germane to our discussion today, because here's the deal. What we do know is the earth we're living in, Genesis 1:3 through Genesis 1:26, that's the one we're dealing with right now. That's the one we have the best record of, okay? So here we go. Genesis 1, here's what I want to say. When you look at creation, thank God that between Genesis 1:2 and Genesis 1:26, there was a whole bunch of stuff that happened in between the earth being formless and void and God creating man. Can you imagine if God first, while the earth was formless and void, before he said light be, before he created the stars that we see in the earth that we're living right now, can you imagine if he first said, you know what, I'm going to start with Adam. I'm going to start with man. We're going to make man in our image. I'm going to breathe life into Adam. Can you imagine waking up floating through the expanse darkness of space? Would that not be the most terrifying feeling? There are times I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm tired and it's dark and I kind of forget what day it is and what's going on and I get a little scared. Can you imagine being brought to life without any knowledge or understanding and just floating in the expanse of space? Terrifying, right? I mean, can you just life, you're just awake, and you're like, I can't see, I can't feel, I can't hear, I'm just floating, I don't know what I'm doing here. No, God didn't create life like that. God, because he's unbelievably and infinitely more wise than any of us, God created, before he created you and me, he created the structure and the systems and the places for our life to be able to function in. So what we see in creation is that God is a God of structure, God is a God of order, and that life without structure from God is formless and empty. Amen? Life without, before God begins to speak light and earth and sky, the Bible says that earth was formless and empty. Life without God's structure becomes formless and empty. And God did not create us with the idea that we would live through life, live our 60, 70, 80 years here on this planet, that we would live that without any form or live it empty or live it in darkness and not live with and discover any structure for that life. You follow me? Okay? In fact, listen, so here's what you need to take away from that. When God begins to put structure into your life, listen, when God begins to deal with you about stuff, when God begins to convict you about maybe a lack of discipline in some areas in your life, when God begins to put some structure in your life, when God begins to put to order your life and send people into your life to say, hey, maybe you should do something this way or do that way. Listen to me. When God begins to put structure into your life, he is trying to create something in you. He is not trying to take something from you. When God begins to say, hey, I want you to start doing this in your life, when you begin to feel convicted by the Holy Spirit about something, you're like, man, I need to get better at this, or I need to get this area worked on, or I need to start doing this, or maybe I need to stop doing that. And it's all about letting God order. Listen, when God begins to structure my life, his intention when he's structuring things, something in me, is because there is something there he's trying to create, not something there he's trying to take. Many times when I begin to sense God structuring, bringing order and discipline to my life, I usually initially have the sense of, man, God, you're just trying to keep me from something. You're trying to take me, you want me to stop doing this. You're trying to, but that's not the case. He's trying to build something in me so that he can create life. He's not trying to take something from you. Amen, somebody? Okay? When God structures a thing in my life, he's trying to create something, not take something. And this is what we see. Listen, before God created man, between Genesis 1:2 and Genesis 1:26, there's all this stuff we're going to look at real briefly here this morning. I'm not going to go super in depth on it, but we're going to go look at this, and we're going to see here over the next few minutes that God created first the structure that would sustain man before he created man. God created the structure that would sustain life before he created life. And you know what? That tells me and you a couple of things. The first thing that tells me is this. It tells me that when God first began creating, listen, he had you and me in mind all along. God, when he said light be, he wasn't working without a plan. He knew exactly where those 6 days of creation were heading, and it was heading to you and me. He and all along had the intention of creating human beings, created you and I, so that he could share his love, his glory, his purpose, himself with. That was what he had in mind all along. And we see that in the structure that he built into creation, and it climaxed and pinnacled with the creation of you and I. Isn't that something to think about? Isn't that something to, I mean, listen, the next time you start thinking down on yourself, the next time you start getting thoughts in your mind from the enemy saying you're nothing, you're nobody, you're no good, you're not important, you just remind yourself, God created everything that I see to sustain my life. Amen? That ought to puff your chest out a little bit. They ought to square your shoulders back a little bit. They ought to fill you up with not a bad, but a good sense of pride, understanding that God, your Father in heaven, created everything you see so that you, your life could be sustained. And he had it in mind from the beginning. Amen, somebody. I'm not an accident. We didn't crawl out of some primordial ooze. No, God created everything with the intention of us being here on this planet. And leading even to this very moment in the lives that we live. It was on purpose. Amen? The second thing that tells me is that the structures that God used to create are still the structures that he's probably going to use to create and sustain my life today. So I need to make sure, I need to ask myself and check out, are the structures that God uses to create life, am I allowing those structures in my life? Let's take a look at them first, step by step. The first thing he does, Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, this is day one of creation. God creates light. He says, light be, and it was. Now, this is really important to understand. We're going to look at it in a second, but it wasn't until day 4 that God creates the sun and the moon and the stars. Now, we have an understanding that we look to the sun as our source of light for this planet Earth, correct? Everybody understands that, right? Light for this planet in this Milky Way galaxy comes from, in this solar system, I don't know what, we get it from the sun. Okay? Understand? However, the sun is not the source of light. Light exists beyond and outside of the sun, the moon, and the stars. Those things, basically, they don't create light, they just reflect light. Are you following me so far? But light exists transcendent and beyond any other created thing. Light existed before God created anything else. That tells me this. And this is, don't you remember last week, John chapter 1, verse 4? The Bible says that what? Jesus was the light and the life of men. Jesus is the light. And since light was created by God and exists outside of all of the creation and is chief and first among all of the creation, and if Jesus is the light, that means that Jesus exists outside, transcendent, beyond anything else in my created life. Jesus is chief, first, and beyond all of it. Amen? And that's the starting point of the structure that will create the life that God wants in my life as a follower of Jesus. Starts with the light, starts with Jesus. Day two, okay? Day two. The Bible says in day two, Genesis chapter 1, verse 6, he says, let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth. And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters from the earth, from the waters of the heaven. He called the space sky. Evening passed and morning came, marking the second day. So the second thing God creates, he speaks light into existence. Then he speaks the atmosphere, the space into existence. Does that make sense? The atmosphere. Now the atmosphere is very important. If I want structure in my life, I have got to have the right atmosphere to create, maintain, sustain life. And if you do any kind of scientific study at all and do any kind of Googling right now, or when you go home and you check us out, you understand with just a few clicks of a button or just a few turns of a page, you understand that the life that you're living on this earth, God, when he created the atmosphere, created a just right atmosphere. When he calls forth the distance between space and heavens and earth, It was the just right moment, just the right amount of oxygen, just the right amount of nitrogen, just the right tilt around what would eventually become the sun, just the right everything, just the right temperature. If the earth maintains a temperature just a few degrees colder or a few degrees warmer, life doesn't exist. If the exact mix of air that we breathe, of nitrogen, oxygen, and carbon dioxide, if any of that is off by just a few degrees, life doesn't exist. If just the right amount of water isn't on, life doesn't exist. Everything was just perfect when he created the atmosphere. And this is what you're going to say. Once I understand and know Jesus as the light, one of the very first things that God will begin to do when he begins to structure is he will begin to deal and change and set right the atmosphere around my life. One of the first things you'll find when you begin to follow Jesus is all of a sudden you will not feel comfortable in the old atmosphere that led you into sin and depression and the things that weren't following Jesus. You'll realize, man, some just don't feel right in this place anymore. Some just don't feel right in this relationship. Some just don't feel right in this place I'm used to hanging out. Guess what's happening? The atmosphere has changed around you. God has said you've experienced the light of Jesus, and now I want to put you in the right atmosphere, the just right atmosphere, so that the life I've purposed for you can be created in you. Amen? That's part of the structure, the atmosphere. And what you'll see about that atmosphere is this. Everything in that atmosphere existed to bring day three and to make day three possible. Day 3, Genesis chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, says, "Then God said, let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place so dry ground may appear." And that is what happened. God called the dry ground land, the water sea. God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant, trees that grow. I'm skipping a little bit. These seeds will produce the kinds of plants and trees which will come from them. And that is what happened. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seed produced plants and trees of the same kind. And God said that it was good. All that, day 3, comes light, atmosphere. The next thing that happens is God creates food. The light leads way to the atmosphere. Jesus leads way to the atmosphere created my life. And then the atmosphere that God begins to create in my life, guess what? Here's what you understand. Listen, anything that God creates in my life will need to constantly and continually be fed. Follow me? Day 3, God set up almost all of the, at least the beginning of the food system, the earth, the water, all the earth, all of that, that all exists so that plant life will grow. And that plant life will be the seed-bearing plants that we sustain, that sustain our food, or a chunk of it, amen? Thank God, day 6 or day 5, whatever day it is here, some other food comes, hallelujah. Steak and bacon, glory to God. It's just not. Who set that clock for? That's supposed to stay set back, so I wouldn't know what time it was. I'm going to be done in 7 minutes. You'll see. All that's about food. Listen, what God creates in me, I will have to feed it. The life God creates in me will need to be fed continually. Now, what do you feed the thing that God's creating in you? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, man doesn't live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Father. Amen? Every word that comes out. Now, we talk about the Word of God. Listen, that is the written Word of God, and that's probably the base level of where you're going to start getting spiritual nutrition from. But the Word of God isn't just this written book. The Word of God is also the spoken Word of God. When you hear preaching and teaching and God speaking, when the Spirit of God gives somebody in the body a specific prophetic word like Miss Joyce had here this morning, that's the Word of God being, that's the spoken Word of God that feeds and nourishes our soul. Amen, somebody? Okay, when God reveals things to you, when you get an unbelievably discernible, clear thought on an issue, or maybe from a scripture, or maybe from something somebody's saying, when that's the revealed Word of God. We live, that feeds our soul, amen. That feeds the life of God in us. And guess what? Just like your physical body, just like the physical life that God created, it needs to be fed, amen. As soon as I'm done here, I'm gonna go feed myself, amen. Come on, somebody, because I used to wear one of those Fitbits, and I don't do it anymore because I just don't care. But But I was a couple years ago. I had one, and I wore it on a Sunday morning. And one Sunday morning, and this was like my average. I would average like 12,000 steps on a Sunday morning, just walking back and forth right here preaching for a few moments. I'm hungry. I'm gonna need to be refed. Amen. And guess what? Here's the thing. I mean, maybe I don't know how. I know some people that you'll eat a big Sunday meal, and that'll be the last thing you eat. About 6 o'clock tonight, I'm gonna need to eat again. Amen. And I probably shouldn't, but about 8:30, 9 o'clock tonight, I'm probably going to need a little snack before bedtime. I'm going to need continually fed. Amen. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to need fed again. First meal, coffee. Amen, somebody. Okay. My point is, our physical bodies continually need refed. Guess what? The spiritual work that God's created in you, the spiritual life that God's created in you, it also needs continuous feeding from the Word of God, spoken, written, revealed. Oh, I got to let God feed me. Amen, somebody? And God created that. That's part of the structure that God builds in creation that leads to life. On day four, that's when God creates all the stars, all the moon, the stars, the sun. And he says, we're going to put things in the sky. We're going to call them stars to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. What is that all about? That gives us two big parts of structure that God wants in your and my life to create the life that he wants us to have. Number one, what does the moon and the sun represent for us? Light and day, also how we tell time, how the seasons are passed, right? We work in four seasons as our earth travels around the sun throughout the course of 365 days. We got 3 months of winter. Sometimes we got 6 months of winter. If we're honest, we've only had about 3 weeks of winter this year, and it's been kind of rough, but we've had a pretty mild, but we work in seasons, right? Now we're going to go into spring, one of my favorite seasons, and we'll be in summer where we're all complaining about how hot, we're going to complain how cold is the winter. Really, here in Indiana, you only get about 3.5 days of really just perfect weather, right? There's always something else that's too hot, too cold, too sweaty, too this, too that. The leaves didn't turn the right color this year, and it's just not right. Whatever, okay? It's never happened. Anyway, but we know that here's the thing about the seasons. We know if you didn't like this winter, you didn't get the snow you wanted this winter, guess what? 9 months from now, you'll get another chance to maybe you'll get that 17 foot of snow that you're dying for. And if you're believing for that, you need to find another church because we don't do that around here. I did pray this year. God did. I mean, I'm not going to say it was just because of my prayer, but I did pray this year. I said, God, I don't want us to have to cancel. Don't let it snow on Saturday night at all or Sunday morning this year. I don't want to have to cancel any church services this year. And praise God, we have not. Last year, we canceled 2 weeks in a row, right through the middle of the January fast. This year, we haven't had to do any. Amen? I'm not saying it's because I prayed, but I mean, I did pray. So you work it out in your own mind. But anyway, I'm not saying God hears my prayers more than yours, but I mean, I pray for this, and I'm just joking. Anyway, seasons, times, sun, moon, stars gives us timing. Lets us know, here's the structure that we have to understand that's in place. And this is going to be in place whether you want it to be or not. Everything God does, God works in timing and seasons. Amen? Now listen, I can fight against that. I can choose not to surrender to the right atmosphere. I can choose not to feed myself and not to feed the life that God has created in me. I cannot do anything about the time and seasons that God has dictated for my life and for the earth. All I can do is understand that the way it is today, it may not always be that way tomorrow. Amen, somebody? Now, that's a two-edged sword. If I'm struggling today, if you're in a season of down, of depression, you're in a season where things aren't working out, you're in a season of struggle right now this morning, cheer up, soldier. It's not always going to be that way. Amen? It's not always going to be that way. Times change. Seasons change. God is leading you through this season, and I promise you, if you'll stay faithful, stay surrendered, God will lead you through it. Amen? He did not lead you to it to not lead you through it. Come on, somebody. What I'm going through, I'm doing exactly that. I'm just going through. God doesn't have any intention of me camping out and living there. Amen. If you're in an up season and, man, everything you touch is turning to gold right now. I mean, you put on a jacket this morning and reached your hand in there and found $100 you didn't realize was there. And man, things are going great. Things are going good. Man, that's awesome. I rejoice with you. I'm shouting for you. I'm happy for you. Don't forget to tithe off that. Come on, somebody, be faithful with what God puts in your hand. But listen, understand, in the season that it's up, you better stay just as faithful, just as obedient, just as hungry after God, because it's not always going to be that way either. Everything balances out. Everything swings. God works in times and seasons. Come on, somebody. And I'm not trying to speak doom and gloom to you. I'm just saying, don't let your high get you so high that you think, man, I'm untouchable, because when you get shook, then you're going to get shook to your core. Come on. See, Paul said, I know the secret to life. He said, I can be content in every season, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. What Paul was saying when he said that, or he didn't say the greater is he, but when he said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, in Philippians chapter 4, what he was saying is this, and he goes through, he says, it doesn't matter if I'm hungry, if I'm cold, if I'm wet, if I'm dry, if I've got more to eat or not enough to eat. He said, I can do all things through Christ. That's the secret. Paul understood, I'm going to have ups, I'm going to have downs. I'm going to have more than enough, and sometimes I'm not going to have quite enough. Sometimes I'm going to have money to put in savings. Sometimes there's going to be too much month left over at the end of the money. He said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. God works in timing. God works in seasons. My job is to understand what season I'm in, surrender that to Christ, and let God work in me, whatever the season that I'm in, what he wants to do. The other thing about the stars, now think about this. I mean, today we have GPS. I mean, I can't, I'm bad, dude. I've got so used to my iPhone and the maps in my iPhone. If you were to tell me how to read a map, sometimes it's silly, I'll find myself typing in directions to a place that I know I've been 400 times. But because I've never actually driven there without Siri telling me where to turn, my brain has never had to remember how to get somewhere. Amen? I used to joke with my dad about that, man. When TomTom first came out, my dad was TomTom crazy. He loved it. He wouldn't drive to Colerain without putting directions into TomTom 10 years ago. I'm like, Dad, we've been driving here without it. He's like, I know, but it's so cool. It tells us everything. But that's how we get used to, right? Can you think about guys 500 years ago? I know I'm going over the 7-minute mark. Just chill out. I'll be done in 3.5 minutes. I see the clock. I'll turn it down in a minute. Listen, think about those Vikings and those people that, think about Christopher Columbus, right? Okay, took off on a ship and just used the stars to navigate where he was. And he wasn't, at that point, not using the stars to navigate. He was actually plotting what would become what future sailors and Magellan, all these guys. I mean, they did all that without, I mean, can you imagine? But what did they use? They, back in the day before GPS and before all that, and actually GPS works off our relationship, global positioning satellite, to the sun and all that. It's all the stars that God creates in day 4 that give us direction for our lives. You know what structure God wants? He wants the light, Jesus, in your life. He wants the right atmosphere around your life. He wants food to continually feed what he's creating. But he wants you to understand his timing. And man, he has called you in your life to live with a sense of direction, to know what direction, to be able to look and say, this is where God has pointed me, and to be able to sense that God has pointed me this direction and that direction. That's a part of the structure that God builds in the life that he's creating in you. Amen, somebody? And then the sixth thing we see here, that's part of that structure that God builds, is this. Notice this. He creates all this stuff, light, soil, food, and then day 5, he creates the birds and the fish and all that stuff in the sea. And then day 6 is when he creates all the other animals, the mammals, the things that are walking on the ground. And we are part of that creation when God creates all of that, creates the fish, the birds, the sky, the sea, all the animals walking around the ground. And then verse 26 happens. And what's he say? He says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They, watch this now, they will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and all the small animals that scurry along the ground. You know what else God created when he was creating everything else? He was creating a job. and it was creating purpose for the creation that he was about to breathe life into. The other part of the structure of creation, the atmosphere, the light, the food, the timing, the direction, was purpose. And God, watch this, God had already created all of that before he created Adam, okay? Which means that God created your purpose before he even created you. Before he created Missy Burton, he already had a job for you to do. Come on, somebody. Before he created Troy Timmons Jr., he had a job for you to do. He created your purpose before he even created you. And if I'm going to have the life of God in my life and see him create what he wants in my life, I'm going to need to have that same structure in my life as well. Amen. Now, here's the last thing you want to see is that thriving, listen, thriving happens within the structure. God creates all of the structure, not just for life to survive, but for the life that he was about to create to thrive. And then God places man in it, places us in it, and says, now thrive within this structure. Amen? Listen, the thriving life of God happens as long as I live surrendered to the structure that he's called that life to thrive in. Amen? And this is what I want you to understand. This is the last thing I want to say, and then we're going to close with communion groups here in just a moment. Listen, God will not create life without the appropriate structure to sustain it. So what does that mean for you and me? That means if I'm believing for God to do something, create something, make something, break something, do something in my life, I might need to take a look at the structure that I'm allowing God to build in my life and ask myself, is the structure that I'm allowing God to build and surround my life with, will it even sustain the thing that I'm asking God for? Because I see here clearly from Genesis 1 that God is not about to create something without there being the structure to sustain it and to let that thing thrive. So my next step might be to keep holding on, keep praying, keep believing, but look at the structure God puts in place and ask myself, do I have the right atmosphere in my life? Am I allowing the right atmosphere in my life to sustain the thing that I'm believing God for? Have I allowed Jesus to be the light of my life? Is he the number one thing, the first thing, chief, imminent, above and beyond everything else in my life to sustain the thing that I'm asking God to do in my life? Am I feeding all these things? Am I feeding myself? Do I have the right food in place? Is it the right timing? Am I heading the right direction? And is there kingdom purpose in it? Amen? And so the question I might need to ask myself is not God, will you do this, but God, will you help me to surrender to the structure that you want to build? God, will you build the structures in my life to sustain the thing that you've called me to do? Amen? Stand me all over this place. Start playing some music for me and I'll shut up. Listen, you say, well, what do I do here? Here's what I'm going to pray, and then in just a moment we're going to dismiss. I'm going to ask you guys, we're going to dismiss by getting into some times of communion today. We've got the chairs mixed up since the last time we've done this, so might break it up. But listen, I know, listen, when I say this, we only have 3 sections of chairs. There needs to be at least 7 or 8 groups here, amen? This doesn't work in groups of 15, 20, and 30. 7, 8, 9. Find somebody you don't talk to all the time, maybe. Make a friend today. But this is how we're going to pray for one another as we receive communion this morning in our groups. And this is what I'm going to pray over as we dismiss. I'm going to pray, God, help us to surrender to the structure. And the first part of surrendering to that structure is surrendering to Jesus Christ, the light. He's first. He's foremost. You can be a disciplined person, and you can look at these other structures that God created, and you can have all those in your life. And it will lead you to a better life. It will lead you to go. It will lead you to be a person of discipline. It will lead you to be a person of purpose. It will lead you to get things done. But all the things you get done won't matter without Jesus, the light, giving life to it. Amen, somebody? If that's where you are this morning, man, I want to encourage, man, before you leave today, take that time right now. You, I know we usually do a prayer, but I don't want to do that this morning. Because you don't. All you need to do is you don't need to. You just need to say, Jesus, I'm surrendering to you. Maybe you haven't been serving him. Maybe you haven't been following him. Maybe you've let that light dim in your life. And right now this morning, Jesus is saying, hey, it's time to light that thing up again. You can do that right now. You can do it right now in your communion group. Do it before you leave this moment. And if you need help with that, we're going to be in groups in just a moment. You can get help right there. You can come find me. Say, man, I need help. I want that light to be turned up a little bit, or maybe started fresh. Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, whatever structures, God, we need to surrender to. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would show us, Lord, if there's any areas, any parts of that structure, any parts of that system, any parts of that order, God, that we are maybe balking at, that we are maybe rebelling against, or maybe we've just been ignorant to. Whatever that you need to build in us, Lord, to create the life that you have created for us to live, God, not just to sustain, but God, also to thrive and to be everything you call us to be. Whatever structures, God, we need to allow you to build in our lives, Lord, I ask you to help us do it. Lord, I ask you to give us a surrendered and humbled heart, Lord, both individually and corporately, Father God, to allow whatever structures that you need to create that are going to create the atmosphere and the place for your life to thrive in us, God. Let us do that, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.